Hops, the mighty Black Hops. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Black Hops. You're flying high now, so let's wrap it up. Let's go, you Hops. Move on. Now all the Hops.
Here come the Hawks. Here come the Hawks. I made a little mistake earlier.
You did?
Yeah. Well, actually, Coach Fox, who's been spending the whole day with us today.
That's nice of him. Nice of him to stop by.
It is nice of him to stop by, yeah.
I just wish he'd take a glass of water. I wish.
All right, Troy Murray is joining us. It's Tuesdays with Troy, brought to you by Chicago's own Nuveen. And Troy's at the United Center getting ready for the Blackhawks to take on the dreaded, hated, feared. Actually, they're not dreaded, nor hated, nor feared. But the Ottawa Senators are in town. And I want to say this, that I mentioned earlier, I made a mistake there. I said Artemi Panarin is out tonight.
Artem Anisimov,
who's out.
Upper body injury. Yeah.
I get my Russians confused on the team.
Classic Russian mix-up.
There was fake news earlier on the show about that. That's how that goes. All right. I got to tell you something, Troy. This team has been just a ton of fun to watch the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been really good. I mean, they looked at the beginning of the schedule, and some said, well, you know, the Blackhawks haven't played some of these top teams in the National Hockey League. Well, the last five games or so, whatever it is, I mean, you played the New York Rangers twice, who one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. You played San Jose last game here at the United Center. They went to the Stanley Cup Final. You played the St. Louis Blues, who knocked them out of the playoffs last year. They're playing some really good hockey, and the good thing is a lot of these younger players are starting to step up. Panarin, Player of the Week, he's just been fantastic all season long. And then you get some of these younger players like Hartman and Hinostroza starting to show some offense and chipping in. It's been a really good sign for Joel Quenneville to look at what he's got right now and seeing the progress of some of these younger players.
I tell you, it must strike heart in the fear of opposing players and coaches when you see that opening line and you see Kane and Taves and Panarin on the line together. You got to just stop and go, well, now what do we do?
It's lethal.
Now what do we do?
The one thing, you know, you look at that, and Anisimov is having a tremendous season. He is, as you guys said, not going to play in this game tonight. But, you know, when you look at Jonathan Taves, why Joel Quenneville more so over the past has switched Taves and Kane onto different lines is to really give the opposition, says, well, who do we want to cover? Do we want to cover Taves or do we want to cover Kane? Last year it was Anisimov, Kane, yeah, and Panarin, one of the best offensive lines in the National Hockey League. And that, you know, match somebody up with Jonathan Taves, which is never an easy matchup as well. Marian Hossa was playing the wing last year, so really gave him some different looks. Tonight, Jonathan Taves is going to play the center position between those two guys, and we'll see what happens. Ottawa's got some good defensive players. They've got a solid team, an unknown type of team other than their defenseman, Erik Karlsson, who's one of the top offensive defensemen in the National Hockey League. Other than that, though, they got a lot of guys that are solid hockey players, but no big stars, no big names in the lineup.
Well, Troy, Scott Darling's been outstanding in Corey Crawford's absence, who did return to morning skate, expected back Friday, so Darling will likely get a breather. But he went 6-2-1, and there was some talk this morning at practice of maybe giving Darling some more reps rather than the normal back-to-back breather that Darling gives Crawford. How would you handle that rotation the rest of the season, considering how well Darling's played?
It's an interesting question. I know that they really feel that they've got a great 1-2 punch with Corey Crawford and Scott Darling in the net. And obviously every time the last couple years when Crawford's been out of the lineup with some injuries, Scott Darling has come in and played extremely well. There's a real strong buzz around the National Hockey League about how well Scott Darling has played and where the upside for this kid is. I mean, he's 6'6", 230 pounds, so right off the bat, you look at his size and you're going, man, you know, anytime you can get a goaltender that big, there's not a whole lot of net to shoot at. So you start there. It's going to be interesting to see what happens after the season is over with Scott Darling. I don't know what Quenneville's going to do. Corey Crawford is, you know, still the undisputed number one guy here, and he's going to be that way for the rest of the season. So we'll see what happens. If the schedule permits, you see a little bit more of Scott Darling, maybe rest Corey Crawford a little bit more. All depends on where you are in the standings as well, who your opponent is on each and every night. But I think that with Scott Darling's play here in the last few weeks, it's really give Joel Quenneville some really interesting options moving forward.
We got to remember, too, Scott Darling was so instrumental in 2015, right? I mean, you know.
No, he came in and, you know.
He saved the season, essentially.
Everybody's bacon in the Asheville series after you know, Corey struggled in that first game. Darling came in and took the reins for three or four games there, and Corey Crawford finished it up, and they went on to win the Stanley Cup. So without his performance in that series, you're absolutely right. The Hawks probably don't win that Stanley Cup.
Right. So, I mean, that's this kid has been he's been great for the Hawks. I just always imagine this, that being the backup goaltender in the NHL has got to be so tough.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're only going in, right? I mean, you know a day in advance you're going in because they're gonna swing a guy for a day, but the you have to go in fairly unworked out in an emergency situation, right? They pull a goalie or they pull a guy gets hurt or whatever
or
the case is.
You have an appendectomy,
yeah,
no, right?
Right.
And I love how he describes it. Not all that painful, no big deal.
He probably had a good couple hours to get himself prepared for that game in Philadelphia.
And then they had to go find a guy who was working as a junior hockey skating zone, right, to go be the fill-in for the backup. I mean, that's
a beautiful story.
It is. It's the thing that I love, even though the NHL is big time international sports league. It still has these antiquated rules that the sorts of things that Tubby Schmaltz would have written in juniors hockey in Canada in the 1930s is the same rules that they have today in the NHL, right? And it's sort of like, oh, if you can't find a guy, hey, we just go get a guy out of the stands. We joke about that in every other sport, but it's true in hockey to go
That's
get
so
a guy
true.
Out of the stands. If they have to.
I mean, if they had somebody there, they would have pulled them on it. And I know that there's been situations. We were actually kind of talking about it the other day where this had happened before. And they were talking about one of the guys who had filled in practices and stuff was in the building. And I won't say the team or the name. And they called him. And they said, our backup goaltender is sick. Can you play tonight? And the guy says, well, I've already had a few beers. It might not be a good idea.
Oh, gosh.
Again, it's the NHL.
I love
right?
that.
It is a billion-dollar franchise.
He was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Sure.
I love
few
it.
Few beers, perfect. Perfect for that position.
It's just awesome.
It's the essential honesty, too, of hockey players. They just can't lie. They're terrible liars, right? I mean, they really are.
They're so good dudes.
A lot of it's the small-town upbringing. A lot of the Canadian players in the past are from small towns, across Canada. And, they're just that small town mentality that they're good people.
They grow up in other people's basements.
Sacrifice to get themselves, get their kids to play in hockey because it was an expensive and still is a very expensive sport for anybody to be playing the game of hockey. But it's all about the upbringing, I think, in a lot of ways that makes the people in hockey such a special breed.
Oh, there's something to that, for sure.
I think there's also something to the fact that, especially when you start playing travel hockey and team hockey as a kid, that by the time you're 15, 16 years old, sometimes you're plucked out of your own home. You're living in somebody else's home somewhere in, Flim Flam, Manitoba, or, like Moose Arrow through the Eye Junction, British Columbia. And the next thing you know, you're with five or six other kids and you're living basically, in another household. And the kids all kind of teach each other to be respectful to the people who are putting them up. And I think there's a real reality of that. It's just really cool. And you talk to the American kids who go through that system, go up to Canada, and they work because that's the best players in the world, right? I mean, Troy, you came through that. That's the best players in the world come through that whole series of teams that, in Ontario and in, I guess, in Quebec. I know the Ontarians don't like it when you say it, but true.
They got three leagues up there. There's the Quebec League, the Ontario, and the Western League. And, everybody considered that and still is the majority of the feeding ground towards the National Hockey League. But there's a lot of players now coming out of the collegiate system, which is great. I think it's really important for some of these kids who don't make it to the NHL to have an education to fall back on. It's a very, very small percentage of anybody who's playing in any sport to make it to where you can make a living out of it. And for a lot of these players who go to junior hockey, they don't have the education that some of the guys do. They're going through the collegiate system in the States. And I that's the way I went. I went to North Dakota, and I felt that, if I never did make it to the National Hockey League, the worst thing that was going to happen to me is I was going to have an education of some sort to fall back on. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's such a cultural thing, and you see it within the Blackhawks organization. This another note from Morning Skate, Troy. They're talking to the captain, Jonathan Toews, and they have the most points in the National Hockey League, And Taves is still talking about how he doesn't even think they've really hit their stride as a team and they can still continue to play better.
They have
sort of gotten away with it, but I just you got to appreciate the captain and the maturity within the locker room.
And
right?
I want to follow up on that.
You thought, guys, if you just looked at what's going on here with the Blackhawks, they found ways to win hockey games. Panarin's having a great season. Patrick Kane is having a solid season, but he just went 9 games without a goal. Jonathan Taves, I think, has gone 11 or 12 games without a goal right now. So if you looked at that and said, what's the record of the Chicago Blackhawks when Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane haven't together scored goals in about 9 or 10 games, you would think that the record would be way under 500. Well, this team has just found ways to excel in every area. You've got some of these younger players stepping up. And what Taves is talking about is you know, he's only got 4 goals on the season. When he starts to get the offensive game going on, you know, to where it needs to be and where it will be, there's no problem with that with the captain, Jonathan Taves. But at the same time, you look at some of the things that have happened this year, trying to fit in all these younger players, just, in my opinion, getting some traction here and heading in the right direction. But it could be very dangerous where this team could be if everybody starts firing on all cylinders and they get the rotation that they're looking for from Quenneville. You got great goaltending. You've still got 3 of the best defensemen in the NHL. Add Brian Campbell to the mix. Forsling's been great. You got some good backup guys. Things are looking good right now for the Hawks.
I know. It's very fun. Very fun, and I think some home eating on the Ottawa Senators tonight is going to be just – I hate to get ahead of myself, but I think that that's going to be good for them because they got a stretch coming up here too that they got – like you said, it's the NHL. They got a lot of great teams in the NHL. And the
danger in this game, though, guys, is if you look at the stretch that they went through, and it actually started before they went on that road trip where they played the New York Rangers and the Dallas Stars Friday, Sunday here at the United Center, then went in and played the New York Rangers. They played the Islanders a couple nights from then. Then you played St. Louis and San Jose back-to-back. That was a real tough stretch of the schedule, and everybody looked at that and said, well, if you can get through this little part of the schedule, you know, with your head above water, well, you know, they didn't lose any games in that stretch or won in overtime. They played extremely well and deserved the points that they got in those things. But now you look at it and say, okay, we've got a couple games here. There's really no rivalry with the Ottawa Senators. We've got Colorado coming in on Friday night before we get the Christmas break. Colorado's struggling this year. Ottawa is a real good hockey team that nobody even knows about. But the danger in this one is a little bit of letdown of the tough schedule that they had with those really good teams that they played.
Right.
Trap game, right?
Or as John Fox would say, every game. It's a trap game. All right. Troy, thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
Have fun tonight.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.